There once was a man named Gold Roger, who was king of the pirates. He had fame, power, and wealth beyond your wildest dreams. Before they hung him from the gallows, these were the final words he said.
Our perspective is yours for the taking, but you'll have to join us first. We left everything we debated at the Yonko table.
Ever since, pirates from all over the world set sail for the Grand Line, searching for the Yonko table, the table that will make their dreams come true.
Yo!
Yo, folks, welcome to the latest and the greatest from the Yonko table. That is the voice of Grandmaster Hoop coming at you from the Xavier Institute, because we're here to discuss Dr. J. Shawi. Dun 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 dun. That's right, folks. If you don't know that awesome 92 theme song from the great 90s era.
Was it 92?
92, the original era. Yep.
Why is it called 97? Go ahead.
Yeah, yes, 97. We are talking X-Men 97, the continuation of X-Men, the animated series that had its initial run on the Fox box from 1992 to 1997. We are a good 27 years later. 27 years later, and we are getting a follow-up to the beloved animated classic. I am your host, Grandmaster Hoop, and with me as always is Dr. Jace Attorney, and we're going to be discussing the two episode premiere of X-Men 97. Dr. Jace, are you here for X-Men 97?
I'm very shocked and pleased at the same time to say, yes, I am here for X-Men 97. I remember getting your text message earlier today, and it's your typical Marvel bias text message, like,
Dr. Jace, oh my God, this episode of Ms. Marvel, you're not ready.
I never said that about Ms. Marvel. I sure did not.
And so I got a text message today about, you know, X-Men 97. Oh my God, it's amazing. You're not ready. And I'm like, oh man, typical Marvel hype man wants to hype up the next Marvel bit. So
Now listen. No, there is no Marvel bias. I'm not even that big on the original X-Men, the animated series. I am a diehard Spider-Man, the animated series from the 90s.
Oh, wow. That's same time period, right?
Same time period. Not to mention they have crossovers.
I do remember that. I
correct.
Do, yeah.
That is where my allegiance lies.
I remember the more specific one where he's like yelling at the X-Men saying, what would I want to be like you? You remember that?
Kind of, yes. Spider-Man's problematic a little bit. Right. But yeah, that's where my true allegiance lies. And, you know, honestly, should X-Men 97 be a success, which based off of these two episodes, I think it will be.
Yes. Go ahead.
I would love to see Spider-Man 94
be a thing. I think this is a testing ground for potentially a revival for something like Spider-Man, which that... Well, see, this is where I question, like, because I did not watch faithfully X-Men, the original X-Men.
Granted,
back in the 90s.
We weren't born yet.
We weren't born yet, right. And even on reruns, it just never, the premise was cool, but it's like, you know, you're a kid, you like watching shows with like a certain level of animation to a degree. It just didn't appeal to me as a kid. I was more of an X-Men Evolution connoisseur. Right. Yes.
Listen,
yes.
That's a fair statement. X-Men Evolution for kids born in the mid 90s, like us 94 babies, 93 babies, you know, yeah, we were at the ripe age for X-Men Evolution to really be our X-Men.
Ew.
Correct. I mean, X-Men, the animated series was on its way out by the time we're 3 to 4 years old. So really, at the ripe age of watching Saturday morning cartoons, we did have X-Men Evolution, which was a great show.
I liked X-Men Evolution. Yeah, that's really where my X-Men knowledge came from when it came to like going to the movies. Because like I watched X-Men Evolution first, and then I think I saw X2 first before ever seeing X-Men 1.
I did not see X-Men 1 in theaters. I know that much. We had that on VHS, actually.
Okay. Yeah. And the only reason why I mention it is because my first, like, oh, I know that guy in X-Men was Toad. I think it was Toad because it was that scene and I think, like, an airport in X2 where, like...
Train station.
The train station and, like, this little...
Oh, no, that's not Toad. You're talking about Artie with the tongue.
I always thought that was Toad growing up because he had the tongue. It came out.
And then
out.
You watched the first movie.
And then afterwards, I watched the first one, and then I was big on X-Men. I liked Wolverine and everything.
And then you saw the actual Toad.
And then I saw the actual Toad. Right, exactly.
Correct.
But that was my exposure to X-Men. I wasn't big on the 90s X-Men, but this is what I was asking about earlier before we got sidetracked a little bit. Did the original, and I don't know if you watched it, because if you watched all of it, did the original X-Men series have a proper conclusion, or was it one of those like things from the 90s that it just ended and, you know, no one batted an eye and they moved on to the next project?
I will say this. I mean, I did not watch it like when it was on TV. I'm sure I caught a rerun or two, but I definitely had to watch it as an adult, first of all. And I think I only really watched its entirety maybe like 2 years ago, I think, at most.
Okay.
But with that said, the ending was an ending.
It was an ending. Like there was no...
It was an ending. It definitely leaves room for more. But like, you know, that's the thing about comic book characters. They don't need an ending per se. You can always do more stories. But where this series picks up is right where they left off. And, you know, they left off on a tragic ending that we'll talk about when we start talking about the episode. But, you know, you could really close it out there or you can continue. Obviously, they didn't continue.
So it's not like Spider-Man, right? Like the way Spider-Man left off on a cliffhanger, right?
Spider-Man left off on a cliffhanger. Correct. You're right.
Okay. Yes. It was not like that.
It was not like that. Okay. No, it was definitely, and we'll get into it again, but it was definitely more kind of cut and dry. This is your ending.
Okay.
But you can obviously, you know, again, superheroes, you can take them as far as you want to go. But obviously they had ideas. They said X-Men Evolution, that's the route we're going to go next. Still a great idea. But, you know, this X-Men, the animated series was the quintessential, like you thought X-Men, you thought this.
Yeah.
Before Hugh Jackman, before Patrick Stewart. This was it. This was your idea of X-Men. For example, I had the image of this in my head when I heard they were making the X-Men movie. So I remember watching the original X-Men, Bryan Singer 2000.
Uh-huh.
I was like, man, their costumes aren't bright. Their costumes
are... Oh, the all-black costumes?
Yes, I was like, there's no blue, there's no yellow.
Where's the yellow spandex?
And funny enough, you know, they make the joke in the movie, too. You know, like Wolverine says something about the suits and Cyclops is like, what did you expect? Yellow spandex?
Right, right. That kind of goes to the whole Hollywoodification of like comic book characters where they think like what was good for comics and animated series, it doesn't
won't
transition.
Translate.
Right. And I mean... To a degree, for the time that those movies came out, I can kind of understand because seeing them all in like colorful jumpsuits and everything, maybe it would not have resonated with audiences too much. Maybe. I don't know. Wolverine as a badass, I did not envision him in yellow and blue at the time for live action.
That's fair. That's fair.
Different. Totally different now. Totally different now. I want to see him in yellow and blue, and we're gonna get him in yellow and blue in Deadpool 3. So
we are.
But yeah, I get it. And it's funny because really when it comes to people remembering shows fondly, it's really the original X-Men series that I see a lot of praise for. Like people praise X-Men Evolution, but the memes, the jokes, the clips I see online all the time, it's always from the 90s X-Men. I never see anything from X-Men Evolution.
X-Men Evolution, Wolverine and the X-Men. I really can't think of many other X-Men incarnations. Superhero Squad, you don't really see any of that. You know, and it's because X-Men, the animated series, was really like revered for its faithfulness to the comic books. Like, they really like ripped stories straight from the pages.
They did Dark Phoenix, didn't they?
They did Dark Phoenix. They did, like, gosh, here I come trying to say X-Men stories that I know. They did variations of Days of Future Past, Age of Apocalypse. Like, they covered the big ones, you know?
Right.
But also they did it to where it felt cohesive. There was character development throughout the run. And it's just a quality show, quality voice acting, quality animation for its time. And, you know, it didn't stray from tackling the themes that make X-Men X-Men. They tackled the subjects that were heavy. And, you know, they still did it in a way that I guess children were digesting, I imagine.
Yeah, I mean, they did. Yeah, it was a successful show. Made video games about it, merchandise. I get it. I see this guy right here. All I see is Hugh Jackman.
I find them two different Wolverines. This is
this was more like a silly
hey,
Wolverine.
Cyclops,
come over here, bub.
Tell Cyclops I made him a convertible. Hugh Jackman probably would never, but here we are 27 years later. I remember they made the announcement that they were bringing this back. Everybody's like, whoa, wait, can you do that? You can do that? They're doing that?
It was unheard of. You don't do that. You don't, especially like the way you would have heard it naturally in Hollywood is that you're getting an X-Men reboot, right?
Right.
Or a small continuation that takes place in modern times, but after the events of this particular series, not, hey, remember that show from the 90s? We are going to pick up right where that series left off and just pretend like there wasn't a 20 plus year gap in between then and now. And yeah. I mean, the concept was exciting when they announced it, but mind you, when they announced it, that was when we were all on a Marvel high still. You know, we were excited about upcoming projects and shows. And I think since its announcement, I can't speak for you because you gave Quantumania an 8 out of 10. But
I did not give Quantumania an 8 out of 10.
But Marvel fatigue has happened since then.
Marvel fatigue is a thing.
Marvel fatigue is a thing. The quality of Marvel projects has diminished greatly since the peak Marvel renaissance, which you could say was like, you know, Endgame, Infinity War era. So this project coming up, X-Men 97, I had very low expectations. I honestly didn't even plan on watching it, if I'm being quite honest. I haven't even seen What If Season 2. I still haven't seen What If Season 2.
Listen, I think it's funny that you mentioned Marvel fatigue. Because, yes, Marvel fatigue is a thing, but the X-Men have had an overwhelmingly unfair share of bad entries in film. There are more bad X-Men films than there are good.
X-Men 1, good or bad?
Good.
X-Men 2.
Good.
Some would say the best.
Yes.
Don't you dare say X-Men Last Stand is
bad.
Bad. Jean Grey.
Bad.
Dark Phoenix.
Bad.
It was bad.
Wolverine. X-Men Origins. Wolverine.
You love that one. Don't you dare.
Don't you dare.
You told me you saw that in a barbershop.
I did. The first time I watched the bootleg version of the barbershop where it said, when they tackled Cyclops and his eyes went off, it said the beam is gonna be right here. Yeah, no. They didn't even need to go see it in theaters. Bad. First Class.
Good.
Pretty good.
Word three.
The Wolverine.
That was good. Come on.
It was good. It was good. That was good.
That's four.
Days of Future Past.
That's
mid. It's mid at best.
Mid? No, get it.
At best. It is mid at best.
It is not.
We'll do another pod later on it. Sure, later. Okay. Deadpool.
Could you consider that an X-Men?
Yeah, Deadpool is part of the X-Men universe. Yeah, the film universe.
I mean, I get he's part of the Fox universe, but if you're going to
count... He's part of the X-Men film universe.
No, I understand that, but I'm saying if you're just counting X-Men... Because, I mean, well, are you going to count Deadpool 2 as an X-Men film?
Get yes, you should. Get it literally has X-Men characters.
Fantastic Four. Count Fantastic Four, too.
It's not an X-Men character. Don't do this.
It's still in the same Fox universe.
It's not about Fox. It's about Deadpool. Colossus is in the movie. Negasonic Teenage Warhead is in the movie. The X-Men cameo in Deadpool 2. They're part of it. The Xavier Institute is in the movie. Deadpool. No. Good. Age of Apocalypse.
That one was bad.
Bad, correct.
Yeah.
Deadpool 2, mid, I'd say. I call it mid. First one's better.
I can acknowledge that. I wouldn't call it mid.
Come for me, X-Men fans.
I guess.
Dark Phoenix.
Surprisingly worser than... X-Men Last Stand, which correct. Is also Dark Phoenix.
Correct. And they're both written by Simon Kingberg.
Right. That was the original out. Director, right? Director
no,
of
no,
Last
no, no, no. He was the writer on X-Men 3, and then he got into the director's chair for Dark Phoenix.
Oh, that was the transition. He made it all so much worse. Wow.
Struck out twice. Yep. And then New Mutants.
I still haven't seen that one.
Bad. It's bad.
It's bad.
It's bad.
I remember the trailers kind of... Well, the early teaser trailers of it seemed very promising, but...
It seemed different.
Right.
It had potential.
Oh, that's not what we got in that movie?
No, it's not what we got. No.
Wow.
It's just boring. Very boring.
You forgot one of the best ones. You skipped it.
Who?
Come on.
Oh, Logan. Yes.
Thank you. Go ahead. What, mid? Are you going to say mid?
Actually, there goes your greatest X-Men movie right there.
Yeah.
Well, it's your greatest Wolverine movie, one of the greatest superhero movies. I don't know if I, in the terms of X-Men, I see what you're saying now with Deadpool, because it, whatever. It's
exactly,
the greatest.
Exactly, yeah.
Greatest.
I don't know why
no,
we're getting
no,
Deadpool.
It's the greatest. The point is, though, we ended X-Men on a bad note,
yeah.
Okay? We ended on a bad note. We were left very fit. With
Dark
New Mutants.
New Mutants. Okay.
New Mutants was the last thing we got. It was a bad note. Sporadically, there were TV shows here and there. Evolution, Wolverine and the X-Men, X-Men anime. You remember that?
That was a weird time for Marvel where they were trying their feet with anime because there was like a Wolverine anime.
There was a Wolverine one.
There was an Iron Man anime.
There was an, correct, yep.
But those are the only ones I I think there was one more superhero.
There was four. There's Wolverine, there's Iron Man, there was Blade, and then there was X-Men, which the Wolverine anime and the... X-Men Wolverine anime. There were two different Wolverines. One was voiced by Peter Petrelli, aka Milo Ventimiglia from Heroes, and the other one was voiced by Stephen Bloom, the GOAT of Wolverine.
Wow, that does sound like. Does he voice Wolverine in anything else? I feel like
he does Wolverine. He does the most Wolverine portrayals outside of Hugh Jackman, if I'm not mistaken.
But like in what like in
voice
what
acting.
Context?
He does Wolverine.
Like in the games? He
X-Men Legends, the X-Men Legend games.
Okay, that's where I've heard him then.
Yep, and then he did like Spider-Man Web of Shadows, that's him.
Oh my god, the best, right.
He even does the chibi voice for Marvel's Superhero Squad show. Superhero Squad, hero up!
Smash?
Yes, is that what the Hulk says? Like, yeah.
Yeah, and then Wolverine says a comment. I'm not going to repeat it.
Oh, I don't recall what he says. Either way.
It's a funny bit, but yeah.
X-Men 97 is X-Men done proper and then some. They said, let's take the animated series and do everything the same, but we just going to turn it up just like this. And they did it. They did it. That those first two episodes, man.
They
ate.
Yeah, no, they were phenomenal. I don't throw that word around a lot when it comes to Marvel. So if it convinced me to stick with the show, they did a very good job. Like I was almost getting like biased to a degree where I saw some like haters online like complaining about the animation and they would be so disingenuous because they would show the clip where it's Jean Grey talking with Storm, right? In their bedroom, and she's talking about like wanting to leave the X-Men.
Correct.
And all that stuff. And people were complaining, saying, like, oh, look at this trash animation. Oh, Marvel's gonna fail. And even then, I thought, like, I don't understand. You're showing a scene that where two characters are just casually conversing. Can you show me an action scene? Is it really as bad as what you're saying? And not once in watching these entire two episodes did I think the animation was terrible. This was phenomenal.
Correct.
Animation. And not only that, because they could have taken, and I use this loosely, they could have taken the easy route and just been like, let's just do like a new animation style and just, you know, make it modern, right? For the kids, because no one wants to watch that old, you know, grandpa X-Men type of animation. No one wants to see that. But they didn't do that. Instead, they took the design and style of what it was back then and they still mixed it by making it a little bit modern, but the way the characters move and talk and animate, it's still reminiscent of the 90s X-Men. And I Correct. Never did I think I wanted that, but I got it here, and this looks great. You
Correct.
Have to be an idiot to say otherwise.
Listen, I think, one, we can thank Studio Mir. This is Studio Mir.
This
is Studio Mir. When I read that this was Studio Mir, I was like, oh, no wonder why they're fucking eating. I was like, they're eating.
This is not their MO. They don't do animation like this.
Right, exactly. Studio Mir is very versatile in their animation. You're exactly right. There is the aesthetic of the 90s, but the colors are so much brighter here.
Yeah.
There are times where I felt we were watching widescreen, and that's really cool for the action bits when they go widescreen. And then there are times where just like, yeah, the action bits were fluid. It was fluid. It moved. It was graceful. And for those who don't know Studio Mir, Legend of Korra, Voltron, Legendary Defender, and most recently, My Adventures of Superman, Studio Mir doesn't miss, okay? And they're not missing here. This is beautiful. I'm with you. Animation 8. They ate.
Yeah. No, it did. And I'll say it even 8 in the slow bits too. Like when they're talking and just moving around, this looks like the way it was in the 90s. And that's purposeful. That's not lack of budget. That's not lack of talent. It is intentional the way they animated this and designed the characters and the way they move. It's the same way when you look at like Into the Spider-Verse or Mutant Mayhem, Ninja Turtles. It's a very intentional artistic direction, and it works. I'd be singing a different tune if it didn't work, because I'd be like, oh well. I mean, they tried to do it like this, but I'm not too much into this. This is terrible. It's not. It's phenomenal. I was at the edge of my seat, not expecting to like this show whatsoever. And I was in for it. The scene where Cyclops in the very beginning, like,
yeah.
is just like going around, like using his lasers to like propel himself, like around the room and gain like a crowd control. Like, oh man,
no man,
that was crazy.
It ate. I haven't seen much naysayers. I know they're out there, but no, the approach. This is the approach. they knew what to do here. I think the overall kind of like headspace was, you know, we have to give them, you know, a continuation, but we also got to, you know, remind people we are in the 21st century and we can do things that we couldn't do before. And funny enough, I think you can give a lot of shout out to Bo DeMaio. He is the head showrunner.
Was he the one that was fired?
He was the one that was fired. Oh. I read a little bit about why he got fired. We're not going to talk about it here. Y'all go look that up on your own time.
I think I know what you're talking about.
Did you look it up?
Well, I heard it. Assuming it's something recent,
I don't, it's more hearsay than
anything. I thought it was speculation. As to why he was fired, not that this was why he was fired.
Yeah, no, it's definitely speculation. Okay, nothing concrete, but the man's got credits. Writing for Moon Knight, The Witcher.
Wait, what seasons of Witcher did he write?
Oh, which one's the bad season?
Maybe 3 and 4.
I think he did 2. I think okay. He did season 2.
All right. I haven't seen 2 personally, but I don't think people complained about 2.
Yeah, that's some really, shit.
It was really 3 and 4 where people were like, this is terrible.
Hmm. Yeah, I might look it up later. The originals, the spinoff of The Vampire Diaries, that was also him.
Ew.
I mean, people like that show.
I guess
You're gonna bring your fan base.
Sure,
they're coming, they're coming.
But he wrote Moon Knight. I mean, that's enough for me. Moon Knight's
yeah,
the best,
Moon Knight. Yeah, you got me with Moon Knight. Right,
Moon Knight's the best Marvel MCU TV series, bar none.
Correct. Yes, and he only wrote one episode. He wrote episode 3, but even if you're brought on for one episode, you're part of that creative space.
Right.
And yeah, Moon Knight's great. I'm sold with that. So you got someone who's good spearheading. You bring back majority of the original voice cast.
Who is not back?
So a couple of people passed away.
Okay.
Who? Cyclops and Magneto's original voice actors. They passed away in 2020.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they both passed away. And then from there, I honestly think the only one who did not come back, Jean Grey's voice actress didn't come back. She's now voiced by Jennifer Hale. Okay. The lovely, lovely Jennifer Hale.
Very famous.
What?
Very famous.
Very famous voice actress. She's a hex girl.
Right.
She's going to put a spell on you. The voice of Jubilee did not return.
God, you said majority of the cast return. This is like a good. This is like half the X-Men. Well, two
of them passed away. What do you want?
I mean, you said the majority of them returned, and now you're listing like half this room in my background is not here.
Okay, listen, Wolverine's back. That's Wolverine.
Okay, I heard. I could hear it.
Beast. That is Beast.
Okay.
Okay. Rogue came back. That's Rogue.
Did Rogue always have like a country accent?
Southern is the word you're looking for. And yes, she has. Yes,
threw me off. I wasn't expecting. Like, I'm telling you, I really did not watch this show.
It's showing now.
No. Okay. I watched it to an extent to where I recognized how Wolverine was supposed to sound like. I know what he always sounded like. But someone like Rogue, who I did not hear often, I guess, if she wasn't part of the episode, when I heard her accent, I'm like, oh, wow. Was that a thing? I didn't know that.
Yes, her Southern Belle was definitely a thing.
Wow.
Clearly, though, Storm, she's back too.
Storm.
We'll get more on her later. But you got a good prominent number of OG cast coming back, and I really appreciate that. You know, we walked by half the cast at MegaCon this year.
Oh yeah,
they were there.
Wait, and which ones did we walk by? Was it
the OG Jubilee was there? OG Beast Jubilee was there. Storm was there. I think Wolverine might have been there, but we did not say hello.
Now we're I kind of want to. Now I'm a fan.
Yep, we're idiots. We're idiots. Either way, that's a calculated move to bring back the OG cast. Right. I really like that. You know, I understand some of them couldn't come back. Some of them, you know, obviously passed. But that's cool. That's cool. You don't see that often. I don't think you've seen someone carry a voice of for that span of amount of time as the same character. You see that with Frank Welker doing Fred and Scooby-Doo. And that's all I got. That's all I know. That's the only one who I know who's been doing some voice roles as, you know, for this long. And in a different incarnation of the show.
Yeah.
You know? So that's cool in my book. That's cool in my book. All these moves add on to the greatness that we saw in these two episodes. Shall we talk about what we saw in this two episodes? By the way, season two is already in production.
It is. Wow.
They started this thing back in like 2020. Or at least 2020.
I think COVID probably slowed it down a little bit, maybe.
Or they just said, hey, work from home, keep drawing.
Right.
We won't pay you, but keep working. Yeah. I don't know if that's true. Either way, we got two episodes here. That opening theme song, again, and they even updated it too. There's like a little different bits.
Yeah. There's an updated version, and then they even play the original version during like their fight scene. I think it was the original version with the Sentinels.
Yes. Right? There's a lot of callbacks. Yeah. So, you know, you open up with the theme plays out throughout the episode and their action scenes. And then there's a lot of nods. But also back to the opening, though, I think we were talking earlier. You were asking about who's new to the team, who's the OG, right?
The OG, like what for?
Like VAs? Who's the OG squad? Who's new? If there's anybody new?
Oh, yeah.
Are you good? You got it?
Yeah.
Okay. Like, you know, more.
Like, do I know which X-Men are like considered new or whatever?
Well, like, there were two new additions to the theme song, and then, like, they were not in the original theme song. They were characters.
Okay, I vaguely remember like the theme song of like how it looked and everything. Like Morph, I don't remember Morph.
Morph, all that well. Morph. This is Morph. Morph is only in like a handful of episodes in the original series because he dies in the first episode.
Yeah, like the characters that I did not recognize were Morph and Bishop. I don't remember Bishop.
Bishop appears in a handful of episodes.
Yeah.
But now, well, Morph came back because they found him. He never died. And then, I don't know, Bishop is, they just said, he time travels. He comes and goes.
He just comes when he pleases. And then,
I guess.
Jubilee, I don't know that much about Jubilee outside of I see her memed a lot of people saying that she's freaking useless. And I don't know how true that is in the original X-Men. I hear that as an ongoing joke, like, oh my God, no one wants to be Jubilee.
I mean, I don't think I would want to be Jubilee. But Jubilee is more of the she's like your avatar character. You know, she's the viewer. Oh,
she's your placement? Like your...
Yeah.
Okay, kind of like this new character that they...
And see, that's exactly what I'm talking about, man. This first episode is almost a direct callback to the very first episode of X-Men in the animated series. Yes. Right. Sunspot.
Sunspot. Is that his name? Sunspot?
That will be his code name.
Oh, okay.
Should he join the team. Roberto... Yeah, he's the Jubilee in this episode. This is literally what happens to Jubilee. She runs into Sentinels. In this case, they run into the Friends of Humanity with their Sentinel weaponry. That's different, and that's cool.
Okay. They're just Sentinel... Mega Busters.
Actually, yeah. They're giving Mega Man. That's different. That's new. It's kind of the Sentinels are on their way out. But people are trying to keep somewhat of the idea of the Sentinels alive. So let's make some Sentinel arsenal for people to, you know, go kill some mutants. Why not? That's cool.
Makes sense.
It does. They gotta go.
But now it's like a different tone, though, because now mutants are kind of accepted.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. Definitely the series, original series, had made progress to where they are at now. There was a really big Senator Robert Kelly speech where, you know, he was the one who they, throughout the course of the series, showed that mutants can be helpful to the cause and are, you know, just need to be treated as regular people and equal and whatnot. Right. So, yeah, it's a different place. It's a different place, but... it's not ideal still. It's not utopia. And that's important in X-Men to show that it's always going to be a constant fight.
Right.
For equality. It's never one person dies and that's it.
Right. I still kind of like that in a way Xavier kind of succeeded in his dream in a way. Cause before they were not like accepted whatsoever.
Yeah, no, the X-Men are here working for the government or working with the government. Right. Yeah, no, that was not a thing before, no.
Right. And so I guess with his passing, and again, I don't know what the context was like from how the series ended, but now with Xavier being dead, the mutants are now seen in a more positive light. It's not a perfect world with them, but it's night and day difference to where how they were treated before. Because people hated mutants before.
Correct. It's making progress.
Right.
Right. And that's good. That's good for the show to, you know, let's not just leave them in the same place. We see this a lot in these, like, continuation series or, you know, whatever. It's like,
yeah.
How can we differentiate this? So they're in a different place. Xavier is passed on, quote unquote. And things are happening. Scott and Jean, they're expecting. That's new.
Babies.
That's cool. Scott, you know, maybe it's time they leave the X-Men. Who does that leave to lead the X-Men? Who knows? Who knows? But, you know, not much happens. I mean, some good conversations happen in this first episode, but I think the biggest thing was just kind of, hey, here's your X-Men again, and let's give them a really kick-ass action sequence. And boy, did they. That bit in the Sahara?
Yeah.
Eight.
It was pretty good.
I can't see anybody saying, and like you said, the theme song hit at the perfect time, and everybody got a little moment to shine. And you know the sequence,
right? There were some things that it just comes down to my knowledge of this version of X-Men. I didn't know certain superpowers were even a thing with some of these characters, like Rogue.
Talk to me. Okay.
Rogue, I knew Rogue had the thing like with her hands, where like if she touches you, skin contact, you like go all woozy, like ugh. I didn't know she had super strength.
Oh,
I didn't know she had super strength. So,
ooh, you want to know how she got that super strength?
How she get it?
She had a confrontation with your favorite Marvel heroine.
My favorite Marvel heroine,
Captain Marvel.
What? So it's like she touched Captain Marvel. She got her
absorbed,
powers.
She absorbed her powers, put her in a coma, and she instead of, you know, her powers just. When, you know, typically she absorbs powers, they go away after an extended period of time. She held on to her for so long, they became a permanent stay.
And that was in the show.
That
the original show.
That's in the show. That's in the comics. I think in the show, the original show, it's a flashback. But no, that's a thing. Yeah that's a thing.
I had no idea. I saw her take down a Sentinel and I was like, since when? Since when?
Right. Wow. She didn't get the cosmic bit. Well, I mean, you would never know from the movies with Anna Paquin.
Right. Well,
just saying it's kind of a disservice how if anybody coming up with X-Men, the animated series, and then they say, oh, yeah, Rogue's going to be in the new live action.
She's going to be so OP and busted and crazy.
Yeah, she's going to like punch the crap out of Magneto.
Nope, we don't get nothing. That. But thankfully, with this iteration of X-Men, I think the healing process for what Hollywood did to Cyclops can now commence. Because let me tell you, even going into watching those OG X-Men movies, expecting like, oh, it's Cyclops, he's gonna do something crazy. As a kid, I wanted him to do something crazy. You have laser beams that come out of your eyes that are busted, and you lose control when you take off your glasses. And nothing would ever happen. Nothing would ever happen with Cyclops. And that's been whatever Hollywood did to Cyclops is low-key kind of what the MCU is doing to the Hulk right now, where it's like you're getting kind of like a bastardization of the character, because like, oh, you know, Hulk in the MCU is nowhere near like, you know, comic book Hulk, where it's like he's there's a version of Hulk that's called like World Destroyer or like World Crusher or something like that. I'm like, yo, I want to see that Hulk. That'd be kind of cool. I'm just saying. But for Cyclops, you just viewed him as a punk. There's a generation, and I think even Hooper TV mentioned it, there's a whole generation of X-Men fans that grew up on these X-Men movies that don't understand how pivotal Cyclops versus Wolverine was. Those were debates back in the 90s, 80s, for all time. Because Cyclops was the leader of the X-Men. If Charles Xavier was not leading the X-Men into battle, it was Cyclops. Maybe sometimes Wolverine. But Cyclops was a central character because he was so powerful. He was strong. And during the 2000s to 2010s, you know, you just didn't really see that side of the character whatsoever in popular media. It was just like, oh yeah, he was the guy getting cucked by Logan with Jean Grey. and that was it. But now, oh my god, when he's skydiving in that Sahara bit and all he uses to land is the propulsion from his beams, and that's what slows his descent. I think we fixed Cyclops. Cyclops is back.
I think he's back. I do think he's back. I don't know if we'll ever get this Cyclops that we see here in live action.
I hope we do. We have to.
Hopefully. You're definitely right. They did right by Scott here. He's definitely at the forefront for sure in this first in these first two episodes. Absolutely. Just kind of highlighting his leadership, highlighting how versatile his eyes can be. And then, you know, we got the moral complex about to happen with regards to the ending of this episode. But before we get there, again, this fight, the moment he lands and propels, to me, my X-Men, you knew it was on. We had this great Sentinel fight. And again, call back to the first episode. They're fighting Sentinels. That's literally the first episode of the animated series. Mm-hmm. Everybody got a moment to shine. But somebody got the biggest moment to shine. So there's a lot of cool bits too. Morph, you're doing good things with Morph. I didn't know he could transform to people and use kind of their powers.
Yeah, well, there has to be some kind of balance with that. Like, there's no way you could turn into any... I'm assuming it's anyone that he's touched or something.
I don't know.
But, I mean, you could turn into them and use their powers? Like, what's stopping you from just being a copy of Magneto and controlling everything? There has to be a limitation. I don't know.
There's
what
probably
it is.
A limit.
Yeah,
it's probably anybody who's probably got some physical thing, not like, you know, magnetism. I don't think you can copy someone's magnetism, but somebody's wings, because like when he turned into Angel.
Well, I mean, he turned into Jean Grey at one point.
He did, but I don't think he didn't use telekinesis.
He didn't.
Right. So I think anybody with a external type of power, I don't think he'll be able to copy that.
Okay.
I mean, you even got Wolverine and Gambit. Gambit did the kinetic energy.
That was cool.
That was that was very cool. Yeah, no. Bishop too is a cool ass. I need to see some Bishop Gambit team up. One absorbs kinetic energy, the other redirects it. That could be something in the future.
Afraid I'll redirect it.
Oh, very good. No, this scene was really good. I dare somebody to say this animation didn't eat, but here, let me make sure I'm quoting this right. Did I write it down? Oh god.
I don't think you did. I think I know what scene you're talking about.
Last chance, Trask. Fine. Bring the forecast. Or is it bring the forecast?
Wow, you ruined it.
Does it show the forecast?
I don't know.
It
was Storm's entrance.
Oh my god.
You ruined
it. Queen Mother Storm strutting her stuff. Ancient Sands, heed my command.
I like
of these relics of hatred.
I like the poetry.
That's her bit. She says all this bits before she does her powers.
And you know what? The X-Men fans are going to come for my throat. I didn't know this about Storm. Listen. I was one of those people that was influenced by Hollywood's versions of these characters. So when I thought of Storm, I thought of Halle Berry's Storm. And that's the version. Like, was Halle Berry's Storm from Africa or no?
I mean, yes. We're not going to assume they changed the origin, but she didn't have an African accent. No, she did not.
And then there's that whole bit with like one of the writers or directors try tricking her into.
Oh, I'm not even sure. I forgot what went down with that.
It was something about tricking her into sign on to like additional movies by putting in the script that she would have a scene where she goes to Africa and then she has the rain and gives some children like water. And then they said, but we'll change it when we sign her on, because you know that's the way Hollywood works with like script changes and whatnot. So either way, that was the version of Storm that I knew, the Halle Berry's version. So
it's a lot of people's storm.
So like when I see her doing these like poetry chants and whatnot before calling the storm, I'm thinking like, this is actually a lot cooler.
Again, she's an Omega level mutant. That's like top tier mutant powers right there. The lightning comes down and where she walks, it turns the sand into glass.
Oh,
what the hell?
God.
Why are we doing this? Why are we eating? Why we gotta eat here?
We did not need
Storm to drop these lightning bolts and then just wipe out everybody in a little tornado. With lightning and like hail shards in it, like they could never in live action.
My understanding of Storm was that she could just call lightning occasionally. Some wind, rain.
The girl can start a hurricane if she wanted.
It's ultra powerful. I don't know. This was amazing. I like seeing. Now, one of these characters in here, maybe Jubilee, but we won't get into her. But all these characters in here had a moment where I'm like, damn, getting into a fight with this person? Jesus. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
They were all great. Fantastic. And then you had your ending with episode one. I think that was where... Like, I was already pretty into episode one up until then, but that's what made me say I have to watch episode two right away. Because I didn't watch any of the trailers, so I don't know if this was in the trailer or not.
It was in the trailer.
There you go. I had no idea. The concept of Magneto leading the X-Men school in Charles's place, ingenious. I'm like, wow, why didn't they think of that before? And maybe there's a comic that does touch on that.
I think there are some comics where, Magneto ends up
right.
Yeah.
But how come in popular media, and by that I mean really the movies, why have we never explored a neat concept like this instead of the tired old Charles?
Are you calling Sir Ian tired?
No, it's just no. Sir Ian McKellen and his stuff with Magneto for its time was phenomenal and it was fantastic. But it was the same shtick like 10-15 years later. And it's like, come on, like, let's do something with this. Let's do something different. And to me, this is neat. Magneto leading the X-Men, I think, is a cool idea because you know there's going to be conflict. There's obvious conflict, and you get it right in episode 2.
Yes.
Like, they don't trust this man. They've been fighting him for years, over a decade.
And honestly, I thought a lot of them would take it a lot worse. It's really only Scott who took it the worst.
Right, as he should.
Right. But, you know, I feel this is, I don't want to call it a trope, because I know that there are comic book trails here with the idea of Magneto being the lead in the X-Men. But I do feel we see this a lot in continuation series or reboot series where, you know, there's got to be something, a giant change up. And a lot of times it's either killing off a character, nerfing a character, or the villain becomes an ally. And
and
we have seen Magneto ally himself with X-Men before. We've seen it in X2. We saw it in, you know, Fassbender and his portrayal of Magneto in the First Class films. You know, they had their little team up moments here and there throughout that series.
Yeah. Like they definitely had their like join forces for the greater good.
Yes,
type of
right.
stuff. Yeah. This one just broke the mold so much to where it's like, I've never seen this, because those tropes, like you mentioned, like we've gotten them before. They're tropes. Let's join forces to face off against this common threat. We may start trying to kill each other afterwards, but you know, we'll fight together for now. But this right here, I just never seen this before. In X-Men or really anything Marvel, it almost seems like a what if episode to me. Where it's like, what if instead of Charles Xavier leading the school, what if it was Magneto? What if with Magneto's fanaticism, with how he leads mutants, what if he did that, but did it with the family that Charles made? Obviously, right. He's not doing that here because he's, you know, actually turned over a new leaf.
Well, I think, and to everything that you're saying, that's what makes this very enjoyable to watch, because I really think Magneto is really trying here. Like,
do not fool. What was the line?
Do not make me let you down.
He's hesitant. He wants to.
He wants to just do what he's been doing.
Right. I thought he was going to revert back. I thought
he was too. That scene eight when, and again, we're jumping ahead, but that's all right. You know, one, he's on trial. And he's like, what do I got to do to get you to trust me? Take the stand, go on trial.
Because you know? That was the biggest thing too. Like, you know, he's saying he's the leader of the X-Men now. And in the back of my mind, I'm like, but wait a minute. You have committed crimes.
Yes, he's a terrorist.
You are a terrorist. You have to be held accountable for that. I don't know how it's gonna happen, but there's no way the government's gonna just let you come in and just take the place of principal in this school. And then naturally the Amanda Waller type character for the UN comes in and says, Magneto, you're coming with us. Good thing we have plastic guns and plastic bullets to defeat you.
Plastic helicopters are a thing. Can you imagine?
It's ridiculous.
Anyway, I was like, you understand this man's a terrorist, right? This man like can make nukes go off on his own, and
insanity.
You just show up with a helicopter and plastic guns? Foolishness. But he's trying. He's really out here saying, Charles's last wish, I really want to be right by my friend and see his dream come true. And it's definitely, you know, in other shows, it's more or less kind of pretty much quick. I feel like we saw it in He-Man a little bit, like He-Man and Skeletor teamed up probably ever so briefly. And then Skeletor, the moment he could, I'm back. I'm evil. You know,
right.
Here, there's a lot of nuance to it. Magneto is a deeply rooted, complicated character. You know, he may, his actions and the way he goes about things are wrong, but they are rooted in a just cause.
Right. And it's also rooted in his backstory. He's a Holocaust survivor.
Correct.
And you know what? This may be a little bit of a sidetrack, but I saw like an interesting question, and it made me wonder, like, Magneto, how, for Magneto as a character, I feel like who he is as a villain with how he leads like the mutants, I feel like him being a Holocaust survivor adds a layer to his character that
it sure does.
You see why he's doing the way he does things, and he mentions it in this episode about like when he's on trial and he's saying like, my people were hunted down for just calling a god by a different name. And then he ties that into, you know, then those same people, then my own people did the same thing that those people did and started hunting, you know, mutants, essentially. And then I started to wonder, like, man, this is a character's backstory and complexity is so rooted in being a survivor of the Holocaust. I wonder if Magneto as a character can never escape like this time period, if that makes sense. So like, let's say we get to 2075, right? They want to make Magneto into a character. Do you still root him as a character that lived in the 1900s? Or do you, because right now it makes sense. It makes sense to have him like that because we're still within that range of like, okay, he's probably peaking 80 to 100 around the time that stuff happened. But the further you go along, it's like, how long do you keep that tied to the character without, I guess, time gating him to a specific period?
I get what you're saying. No, that's a good point. And, you know, to your point, so much of the complexity of X-Men as a whole is rooted in relatable issues within our world to where, when you do a modern update to, you know, a story like that of the X-Men, you know, you can't just take Magneto and, you know, say he was born in 1999.
Right. Some people said like, oh, yeah, he just has nothing now.
Right.
To an extent.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't know how that looks in the future. I really don't. Because you're absolutely right. That is integral to his character, you know.
Yeah.
The man is a survivor and never once does he get to really live. And that's at his core. But here he is now. He's trying to live for his friend, Charles. And I also like what he said, too, about the Earth, saying, you know, this is a common Earth that we share. And we have to learn to share it or it'd be the doom, the death of us all. I am misquoting it terribly, but the writing here is really good. It is really strong.
Yeah.
You know, talk about our other big twist, Storm. Losing her powers.
X-Men Last Stand callback.
Oh, God. Jeez. You don't got to do that. You don't have to do that.
Charles. No, wait. Who was it? No, it was not.
It was Eric.
Eric,
I'm sorry, my dear. You're no longer one of us. Oh, she was so beautiful.
The betrayal.
Oh, my God. But no, that was a big thing. Storm, again, she closes episode one showing why she's the powerhouse of the X-Men, you know?
Yeah.
She has an earlier conversation with Jean. I watched the episode twice. Stop it. She has that conversation with Jean talking about, I've dreamed of what it would be like to be human, you know? And live in a world where you're not ostracized, you're not a victim of prejudice and racism or any of that discrimination. And, you know, but then she says, you know, I remember my family that I found here. If I was not a mutant, I wouldn't be with my sister, you. I wouldn't be with everybody here. And I feel that was a man. See, talk about the action was eating. The writing is eating. Okay. I'm with it. I'm with the writing. And again, I'm glad Storm said that quote, because say what you will, there's a lot of layers to it where I feel like that's like, you know, the Black experience too, what it would mean to not be discriminated and whatnot. So I like that quote coming from Storm. And then they do it. They make her human.
Right.
And she's absolutely deaf. The gale. I cannot feel the mist.
The breeze.
The breeze. I'm like, oh no, Storm.
That was funny. Not funny. It was. I don't know why I said funny. It was tragic.
And you felt it. You felt it in that letter too. You know, Jean, because, you know, Jean went through the Phoenix saga and all that. So she had to say goodbye to the X-Men plenty. So she's like, Jean, you're an expert at saying goodbye. Please help them understand. But wow. I gotta go. Where do you see Storm in the series from here?
I feel like there's no way they're nerfing her like that. I feel like there's got to be something that they... I mean, because Beast is, you know, trying to make it seem like, oh, it seems permanent right now, Storm. But, I mean, I don't know. There does seem to be stakes in this, right? Like, if they keep Storm nerfed, it's like, oh, wow, that was like their heavy hitter, you know? So I don't know what they're going to do. Like, it feels like a heavy loss.
Right.
At the same time, I'm like, man, are they really going to keep that? Like, are they really going to keep Storm on the sidelines? I feel like they won't. Maybe not for season one. Maybe potentially later in the season. Because they'll find something to reverse it, I think. If Last Stand, for some reason, had Magneto keep his dumbass powers in his little senior home playing chess,
they'll give it. Park.
Sure, whatever. They're going to give it to Storm at some point. Don't know when, but soon.
I hope there's a journey we get to go on with Storm as she... I think it'd be dumb to make her human and then we don't see her. Like what it means for her to live her life as a human. Very similar right. to Justice League Unlimited, where the Martian Manhunter said he was going to go live his life as a human for a time and stay away from the Justice League. We never actually got to see it, but we do see that he fell in love and got married as a Chinese man. I was like, cool. He landed in China, got married. Great. He knows what it means to be human. I hope to see some degree of that of Storm. You know, that's a journey. That's a great story. I'm sure they can tell. To nerf her, we're not going to get these quotes, man. Who's going to be giving quotes? Wolverine?
I mean, I feel like they want to give Wolverine some quotes, but like he's not really saying anything. Like there are scenes where like he's looking at Jean and Cyclops, and it's like I feel like there might be like a like something nice for him to say, like for to like get into his mind and see what he's thinking. But they don't really do anything. They just have him kind of standing there. And maybe that's intentional. Maybe you're not supposed to know yet. Because I know, with what little knowledge I know of these characters, I am aware that, you know, there is like a triangle thing between...
There is.
Yeah, Scott and Logan and Jean.
Oh my God, speaking of triangles, that's another twist.
What?
The Gambit, Rogue, and Magneto triangle.
Was that a thing? Was that a thing in the show? Like, what is this?
This caught me off guard. I don't know what this is.
This man is pushing what? Like, 80s?
Come on. No, give him like mid-60s, maybe.
Mid-60s?
Yes.
There's no way.
Yeah, no, that checks. That checks.
Because what? He would have been like still a kid.
If he's a teenager in the Holocaust.
Right.
That's 40s. 30s in the 50s. 40s in the 60s. 50s in the 70s.
Okay, and what are you creeping up to?
I lost count.
Shut up. This man is old. And Jean Grey is what? Like 22?
No, Rogue, 20? Rogue, Rogue.
Oh, I'm sorry, Rogue. She's 21? No.
These are adults. These are adults.
Well, I thought Jean Grey was more of like on the younger side.
No. They grew up. These are very adult X-Men.
Okay.
Jubilee is the youngest, being like 16 or whatever.
Okay.
These X-Men's, I don't put them over 40. I put them in their either mid-30s, or I should say late 20s to mid-30s. That's where I put these X-Men.
Okay.
All right. There is a gap between Rogue and Magneto. But I don't think this is...
I don't know where this came from.
I don't think this was in the original show at all. So I'm very confused.
And then what... I mean, even if it wasn't, so what's the... How is Magneto negating Storm's... I'm sorry, Rogue's touch?
I don't know. I have no idea what's going on here. I don't know what the heck is going on here.
But Gambit's sad now.
Gambit is sad. Poor Gambit.
Is Gambit supposed to be country or French?
Cajun. He's Cajun.
He's Cajun?
Cajun, yeah. He's from like New Orleans. Or at least Louisiana. He's from the Bayou.
Oh, Jesus.
Mon cher.
Oh God, I don't know. I'm not
you
a fan.
You need to listen to the Gambit. The Gambit knows how to play his cards right.
I'm not a fan of his mannerisms. This is weird.
Oh, you better get used to it, bub.
Was he like that? See, I'm okay with that. Actually, even bub just comes off a little like don't call
that's
me.
That's like the
that.
OG bub. That's like
I know
OG
that's
bub.
OG bub. I that doesn't mean I gotta like it.
Oh no, you go back and watch the 90s. No, go watch the animated series right now. Get used to it. Get ready. It's coming. It's coming. It's here.
Either way, I mean, I'm excited for the rest of the series now. And for all I know, maybe I'll take back everything I said. Maybe these first two episodes were goated and the rest of the season just falls. It's happened before. It's happened before where we get a very strong start. I feel like this start is just too strong for it to fall
continue,
off.
To continue?
No. The opposite. I think it's strong for it to be like, what happened? How'd you fall off from here? I feel like there's just no way it can. I feel like it can, unless you purposely try to make it bad at that point.
Yeah.
Because I feel like you're in the bag for episode 1 and 2. And how many episodes is season 1?
I think there's going to be 8 or 10.
I mean... Maybe you might get a boring episode once or twice at most, but if they fail, if they start like dwindling and I'm losing interest, I will be very surprised because this just wasn't a good episode or a good start. This was phenomenal. Yeah. And I haven't said that for a Marvel project in forever. In a long time. Yeah. Your Marvel bias ain't in my blood.
It's not a
bias. It ain't in my veins.
It's not a bias. Don't have a bias.
So it's nice to be able to say, and it's not MCU, but it's still nice to be able to watch a Marvel project and be like, I actually want to see more of this. This is nice.
Correct. And there's a lot to be looking forward to. We got, obviously, Magneto trying to live this life as the leader of the X-Men. You got Storm on her human journey. We got Rogue in this Gambit Magneto triangle.
I don't know. Maybe we'll see more of it.
We'll see. We got Jubilee and Sunspot. in his coming out story, which that is totally what they're going for. And then one last twist, you know, Gene did deliver the baby, Nathan, who would grow up to be Cable, the time traveling son of Scott and Gene. Wow. But who shows up at the door at the very end? None other than
Gene.
Another Gene.
Wow. Time travel.
I don't think it's time travel. But I used to have this really big book of X-Men, which highlighted all these stories and the key players in these stories. I have an idea what's about to happen. I have no idea what they're going to do with it, though. Mm. But I'm here for it.
They convinced me. Is this the first like X-Men centered project Marvel, since the Disney acquisition of Fox? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a way to start.
Outside of naming Miss Marvel a mutant and I guess the end of the Marvels.
Well, yeah, I mean like in terms of like this is a project where the X-Men appear. This is correct. This is their first one. Okay.
Correct. And yes. And, you know, it's under Marvel Animation. This is the fourth Marvel Animation project. And damn. Yeah, no. They're killing it. They're killing it. I ain't got nothing more to say. It's just, I'm here for X-Men 97. Keep them coming. Okay, I guess that's it for us here, huh, Dr. Jace?
Yeah, no, I'm here for more X-Men. Let's see if they expand on some of the stories with some of these other characters.
Like, oh, yeah, Morph is going to have a big part, too.
Okay.
Because there's a giant gap between when he died and his return. So.
Okay. Yeah. So we'll see more of Morph. We'll see more of Magneto's story. I mean, Magneto gave this amazing speech at the end of episode 2 when he was like just considering, like I thought he was reverting back to the old Magneto. He had every reason to at that point.
To let these people float off into space.
Right.
Or drop them.
I mean, especially after the storm bit, because, you know, it's a typical Magneto thing. You may have been opposed to him, but as long as you're a mutant, he still cares for your well-being to a degree.
Correct. Also, power recognizes power.
Right. So once
the closest one to a goddess
nerfed, he did not take that kindly.
Oh, hell no. He was pissed.
Right. So he was ready. I don't know if he was going to drop them from like the atmosphere or let them float off into space. I thought he was just gearing them up to be, honestly, that scene where he's floating on top of the guy with the mask that shot Rogue. Storm.
Executioner.
Yeah. He's doing this bit where like he's just gently floating his foot above his face. And it's just like he's not even lifting his foot. He's showing it's a power move. He is just floating.
He's flexing. Just
in general, above him. He's like, I could end it all. I could end it all right now. But he chooses not to envision the world that Charles wanted to bring about. And I'll be so mad if the rest of this season is straight ass. I swear to God.
You're basically telling the show to please don't let me let you down.
Please. Yes. Right. Please don't let me
don't make me let you down.
Please don't make me. Please don't make
it
me.
It doesn't let work. I mean, that's what Magneto said, to the writers. You're basically saying, please just don't let me down.
Actually, yeah, please don't make me let you down by then just after this episode, just ripping the entire series and saying this episode, the series was trash. It was trash.
Right.
So, yes, please just, this was so good. It was so good. Give me more of this.
Ethan.
Correct.
We're getting one episode a week. So I take it we might be back for more X-Men 97. We'll see. But if you like what you heard, folks, thank you for listening to us here at the Yonko Table. Thank you for all your support on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube with Dr. Jace Attorney. And of course, if you like everything you heard, or if you didn't like it and you want to, you know, duke it out with us, maybe you didn't like the fact that Dr. Jace is not as X-Men knowledgeable as some, and maybe you don't like how my Marvel bias goes ahead and, you know, shrouds my judgment, comment below, or, you know, meet us in the Discord and we can have a discourse in the Discord. So by all means, folks, but that's it from us here at the Yonko Table. I'm your host, Grandmaster Wu, fellow Yonko, Dr. Jace Attorney. How should we close this? Na 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 na